And we're going to use this passage as a starting point, if you will, for all of these lessons. And you'll learn some valuable truth that will help you if you'll apply it, if you'll do it. This is basic stuff and stuff that we all need to know. Luke chapter 17. Steve, if you could cut back just a little bit on the monitor for mine, the one up top. I'm getting a little feedback. That's good. Thank you. Perfect. Okay, Luke chapter 17. If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, and I'm going to start with verse 5. Now, just to give you a little bit of background, Jesus had just shared with his disciples about offenses. In other words, you're going to be offended in life. And it's not a good thing for people to offend you. It's a good way to get into trouble, but he said we have to have the willingness to forgive others. So he said in verse 3, watch yourselves, be careful. If your brother trespasses against you, speak sharply to him. And if he repents or if he asks you to forgive him, forgive him. And then he said, if he trespasses against you 7 times in a day and 7 times returns saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Then in verse 5, it says, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, it seems as though the subject has changed, but it has not. Notice what Jesus said. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root, be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by, when he's come in from the field, go sit down to meat? One translation says, come on in, relax, kick up your feet, and relax and recline. That's literally what it says. And will you not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten, and afterwards you can eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I don't think so. So likewise, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, you shall say, we're unprofitable servants, for we've done that which was our duty to do. Now, in this instance, Jesus has not changed the subject. He's talking to his disciples about forgiveness. And then they said to him, Lord, increase our faith. Now, I was talking to somebody just yesterday, and they asked me, well, you know, is that a scriptural prayer to pray? I said, well, let's examine what Jesus said to these men. They said, Lord, increase our faith. And he started telling them a story. He told them a story to illustrate a point. And that point was simply this. In ancient times, the servant's job was to go work out in the field and then come into the home and prepare the meal for the family. After he'd prepared the meal for the family, then he could go back, kick back, relax, eat. So what Jesus was saying to his disciples was simply this. You don't need more faith. You need to put your faith to work. In other words, you have enough faith. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, which is one of the smallest seeds that exists. It's very tiny. He said, if you had a little bit of faith, you would say to this sycamine tree, be plucked up, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. But which of you having a servant? Now, I remember many years ago, I taught this lesson, and I used the illustration of a fella that I had who used to do my lawn care, Leroy Franklin. Some of you know Mr. Franklin. And I saw him about 10 days ago. Came into the store. I always enjoy Mr. Franklin. His sister, her last name was Sama, was a real good friend of the Ruby Coleman. They used to hang around together. And Jean was her name. And so anyway, when I hired Mr. Franklin to do my lawn, he would come about once a week. He would edge my grass. He would trim the grass. He'd cut the yard. He would dump the grass. All I had to do was pay the man. You with me? I didn't have to sweat, I didn't have to buy any gasoline, I didn't have to do any of that stuff. Mr. Franklin did it all. Now, wouldn't I look silly if I were to go to my front window and look at my grass and say, I need my grass cut. So I call Mr. Franklin over to my house. But instead of letting Mr. Franklin do his job, I tell him, hey, there's a basketball game on. Why don't you come on, get some iced tea, kick back, let's watch the game. I'm sure he'd accommodate me. He'd do it. And while he's reclining in my family room watching the basketball game, I can go back upstairs, look out my front window and say, oh, my grass is long. I need some lawn care service. So I'm going to call somebody else, have them come over the house. But instead of letting them do their job, I'll tell them, hey, the game's on downstairs. I got some great iced tea in the fridge. Why don't you go downstairs and kick back, watch the game with Mr. Franklin? And they'd probably accommodate me, go down there, sit in my family room, drink some iced tea, watch the basketball game. And I can go back upstairs, look out the front window, and bemoan the fact that my grass is long. Well, in that situation, I don't need more lawn care service. I need to put those guys to work. In the same measure, in your life, you don't need more faith. You've already got enough faith to get the job done. You need to know how to put it to work. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. They said, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, we got to forgive people 7 times in a day. Jesus, I ain't got faith for that. You're going to have to give me more faith. Jesus said, you don't need more faith. Put your faith to work. And so that's what we're going to explore in this series. All right? I'm going to teach you the ABCs of faith. Now turn with me in your Bibles. We're in Luke chapter 17. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Go to the right to Hebrews chapter 6. Now I want you guys to follow along with me in your Bibles, because I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to have you participate. I'm going to have you guys read some scripture to me. You ready for that? All right? I'm going to do it old school. You know what old school is? You ever been to church and the preacher had readers? Read! You know? And the person would read and then he'd interrupt and preach from there. Well, I'm going to have some readers this morning. All right? Hebrews chapter 6. Let me show you something. I want you to notice what it says in verse 1. Everybody got it? Hebrews chapter 6? All right. Notice what it says in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Now, I want you to watch this. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Now, perfection does not mean flawlessness. When he says, let's go on to perfection, it doesn't mean you get to the point where you never sneeze, you never drop anything in the kitchen. Are you with me? You never stub your toe when you get up at night because you didn't turn the light on. No, it simply means let's grow up and become mature. The word flawless does not mean, or perfection does not mean flawlessness. Perfection means maturity. So here the writer of Hebrews is writing to Jewish believers and he says, therefore leaving the principles or the basics of the doctrine of Christ, let's grow up, let's become mature. Now, what are the basics? What are the principles? What are the building blocks? Or what are the ABCs of the teaching of Jesus? He tells us, repentance from dead works. That's basic stuff. Faith toward God. That's basic stuff. The doctrine of baptisms, plural. That's basic stuff. You know there are 3 baptisms taught in the Scripture? There's baptism into Christ, there's baptism in water, and there's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We should understand all 3 of those. And then he talks about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. That's basic stuff. Those are the building blocks of basic Christian teaching. And so here, the writer of Hebrews is saying, therefore, leaving these things, let's grow up and become mature. So faith is not advanced. Faith is not something that's extra. Faith is basic. Faith is the fundamentals or the foundation. Faith is the ABCs. And so if you're still hanging around the foundation, what does that say? Everybody got quiet on me there. Now, we need a good solid foundation. But what do you do with a foundation? You build on it. You build on it. And a lot of Christian people are still digging holes when they should be putting roofs on. They're still playing around with the foundation where they should be on the third story. Are you with me? So I'm going to share with you the ABCs of faith. Faith toward God is fundamental. It's basic. It's the ABCs. And I'll show you how important it is. Now, we're in Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to run through a lot of stuff this morning, so keep up with me. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. You're in Hebrews. Go to the left about 20 pages. Romans is right after the book of Acts. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Now, the theme of the book of Romans is righteousness. And here Paul the Apostle, writing to the church at Rome, is teaching these people and us how righteousness comes. And the bottom line is, righteousness does not come by keeping the law of Moses. Righteousness comes by faith in what Jesus did. So notice what it says in Romans chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. Romans 3, 26 and 27 says this: to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness. Now, whose righteousness is he talking about? God's righteousness. That he might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Now, the word just means declared righteous. So that God might be just and declare righteous the believer in Jesus. So in verse 27, he says, where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Now, he's simply letting us know that none of us have a right to boast when it comes to righteousness because it didn't come by what we did. Righteousness comes by what he did. And the only way we can attain righteousness is not by the Mosaic law or the law of what we do, but rather the law of faith. All we can do is trust in what he's already done. So notice that he refers to faith as a law. Where's boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? The law of works? No, the law of faith. Faith is a law. Now, that does not mean that you'll go down to the courthouse and look up faith in the ordinance book. It's not on the books at the courthouse. But think of law like this: a principle that governs. See, there is a law called gravity, but you won't find it on the books at the courthouse. But rather, it's a principle that governs the way we live on the earth. You might say, Pastor Bill, I don't believe in gravity. Doesn't matter what you believe, it still works. If you don't believe it, jump off the roof. You're going one way and one way only, and that's down. Why? Because of the law of gravity. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It still works. Same thing is true when it comes to faith. Faith is a principle that governs the way things happen in the kingdom of God. And the only way you can attain righteousness in the kingdom of God is faith. That is the principle that governs righteousness and the principle that governs everything else in the kingdom of God. Now, turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to look at another passage. Let's go to, and here's where I'm going to get some audience participation. How many of you guys are real familiar with the Old Testament? Who's the Old Testament scholar? Who knows where Habakkuk is? Habakkuk. Jackie knows where Habakkuk is. Jackie, if you would, find Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk 2:4. Just Jackie, not everybody else. All right, who knows where Romans is? All right, Margie, Romans 1:17. Not just Margie, not everybody. Okay, Galatians chapter 2. Who knows where it is? Okay, Dempsey, you're it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. All right, I saw several hands go up with Galatians. Who's got Galatians 3:11? Who knows where that is? All right, Pat, you got Galatians 3:11. Okay, I need two more. Hebrews 10. Who knows where Hebrews is? No, Janet, I need you for something else. Fred, you got it. Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38. And Mr. Carter, if you would do 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Okay, now Janet, I need you to help me. Now, for those of you who I assign scripture to, all right, when Janet comes to you, I want you to stand up and read your scripture into the microphone. I'm going to show you something here. All right? Okay, Jackie, we'll begin with you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4.
Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
Okay, thank you, Jackie. The just shall live by his faith. Who's got Romans 1:17? Okay, Margie.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Okay, thank you, Margie. All right, who's got Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? Dempsey. Just read Galatians 2, chapter, verse 20, the second half of that verse.
Okay. 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gives himself of me.
Thank you, Dempsey. All right, who's got Galatians 3:11? Pat.
Okay. Galatians 3:11. But there is no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident, for the just shall live by faith.
All right. Okay, Fred, Hebrews 10:38. Okay, thank you, Fred. And the last one is Mr. Carter, 2 Corinthians 5, 7.
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
All right, thank you, sir. Now, let me ask you guys a question. And here are those scriptures for you guys. You can write them down. Habakkuk 2:4. Romans 1:17. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 3:11. Galatians 2:20 and Galatians 3:11. Then we had Hebrews 10:38. And then Mr. Carter read 2 Corinthians 5:7. Now, all of those verses basically say the same thing. Four of them say verbatim, exactly, word for word, the same thing. The just shall live by faith. So here we have six witnesses that all say the same thing. The just shall live by faith. Now, let me ask you a question. When you were growing up and your mama said something to you and you sort of blew it off, what happened when mama said it the second time? Or what happened when mama asked you or said something the third time? How many of y'all had a mother who was so patient she'd give you six tries? Not me. When my mother said something to me the first time, I learned to pay attention. Now, when I was little, if I got distracted or something, Mama would come back. She said, "Now, Davy, I told you." I knew I was in serious trouble. Now, Here, God is saying something to us, not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, but six times. He repeats the same phrase, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? Faith is a way of life for the Christian. So we've seen already that faith is the ABCs, it's the fundamentals, it's the building blocks, it's the foundation. We've seen that faith is a law, it's a principle that governs. And now the Bible tells us six times, four times, verbatim, word for word, the just shall live by faith. Faith is a way of life for the Christian. Think of it like this. A fish lives by swimming. I feel sorry for a fish that can't swim. He's not going to survive. A bird lives by flying. You got a bird that can't fly, he's not going to last very long. Are you seeing me? Even pick an animal. A cheetah lives by running. They're fast. Why? They're designed that way. That's how they catch their prey. That's how they survive. And the Bible says about us six times, the just shall live by faith. Just as a fish that can't swim and a bird that can't fly and a cheetah that can't run, a Christian who doesn't understand faith is in trouble. You with me? There's something wrong with a Christian who doesn't understand faith. Because it's the basics. It's the ABCs. It's the fundamentals. Nothing advanced about it at all. It's basic stuff. And that's the way the Christian is supposed to live. Now, here's the issue. Most of us think that faith is like the spare tire in our car. Let me ask you a question. How many of you guys looked at your spare this morning? Nobody. Why? You don't need it. And that's what Christian people do. They don't pay any attention to faith until they think they need it. I remember one time years ago, a guy had purchased a car. And he brought it back, and he was mad as a hornet. And I'm wondering, you know, salesman comes to me, he says, man, this guy's all upset. And I said, what's he upset about? He said, well, there's no spare tire. Well, he went home, bought the car, went home, looked, expected to find a spare. You know what he found? A wheel well full of rusty water. Because there was no spare, and the car had a leak in it. You with me? And so obviously, you know, the guy took it back and fixed it and did all that stuff. But many times we think of faith like the spare tire in our car or the panic button or this is what we do when we get in trouble. No, faith is the way you're supposed to live. Just like a fish swims or a bird flies, you're supposed to live by faith. Faith is a lifestyle for the Christian. Say that with me. Faith is a lifestyle for the Christian. So that's what we're going to study in this series, the ABCs of faith. Now, turn with me back in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to call this series the ABCs of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Excuse me. Hebrews 11. And this is a great chapter. It gives us a lot of information. But there's one verse that I want to zero in on. We're laying a foundation. And as I say often, my job as a pastor is to teach you how to use the tools that are found in the book. Okay, the Bible's your toolbox. You need to know how to go in this toolbox, take tools out of it, and put them to work. If you don't know how to use the tools, there's no point in having a toolbox. Are you with me? If you don't know how to use the tools, there's no point having a toolbox. Because it's just going to take up space in your house or your garage or wherever you keep it. Notice Hebrews chapter 11. Notice verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must, number one, believe that He is, and, number two, believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible. Now, the word without is the Greek word choresi. And the word choresi literally refers to a location. And so this verse could be translated this way: outside of faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, who can tell me what the definition of impossible is? The definition of impossible means not possible, no way, ain't gonna happen, forget about it. You with me? That's the Bill Young Modern Translation. What does it mean to be impossible? Not possible, ain't gonna happen, no way, forget about it. So faith is so fundamental and so important that outside of faith, there's no way you can please God. I don't know about you, but I want to please God. I said, I don't know about you, but I want to please God. Faith is the way the Christian is supposed to live. Faith should be to you just like swimming is to a fish. Faith should be to you just like flying is to a bird. Faith should be to you the way you live every day. Don't think of faith as what you do when things don't go right. Don't think of faith as what you do when you get in trouble. Don't think of faith like your spare tire. But rather, live your life by faith every day. Birds fly every day. Fish swim constantly. Christians need to live in faith constantly. Because if you're outside of faith, you can't please God. You see that? Outside of faith, you cannot please God. All right, let's look at one last passage of Scripture. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. If you're already in Hebrews 11, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3. And let me show you a story. Hebrews chapter 3. I've often said this, and I'm sure you've heard me say it many times. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is the pattern for the Christian life. When I was a young boy, my mother used to go to Montgomery Ward's, Sears and Roebuck's, W.T. Grant's, G.C. Murphy's. She made a lot of clothes, not so much for me and my brother, but for my sister and for herself. She made pantsuits, outfits, dresses. And she would go buy a pattern of something that she thought was really cute that she wanted to make. Then she'd buy the fabric, and she would take the fabric and lay it on the dining room table. And then she'd take out that pattern and take pins and pin that pattern to the fabric. Then she'd get her shears and she'd cut that fabric to match the pattern. Then she would take the pins out, remove the pattern, and she would sew the fabric and make the outfit. Well, in the same manner, the Old Testament is the pattern for the Christian life, but nobody wears a pattern. The New Testament is the fabric that we wear. And so we need to focus on the New Testament. But we can see patterns in the Old Testament. Now here's a pattern that we need to pay attention to. Hebrews chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 17. Hebrews 3:17. Notice what it says. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but them that believed not? Or you could say, those that didn't believe. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, notice chapter 4, verse 1. Just for your information, the book of Hebrews was not originally written in chapter and verse. It was written as a narrative. The translators divided it into chapters and verses so that we could better study and understand it. But the narrative from chapter 3 continues in chapter 4. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, what is he saying? He's simply saying this. There were people in the Old Testament that missed out on a great blessing because they didn't believe. They did not mix faith with what they heard. And those were the children of Israel. God had told them, look, I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's a great land. It's a good place. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build. You're going to reap crops where you haven't sowed anything. But they went into that land, spied it out, and realized there was opposition, there were giants, there were obstacles. So they came back and said, whoa, wait a minute, I know God said that land belongs to us, but there are giants over there. Their cities are walled. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. 10 leaders in Israel came back with a bad report, Numbers chapter 14. Only 2 men who saw the same thing had a good report. And those were Joshua and Caleb. And they saw the same giants, saw the same obstacles, but they said, listen, God said it's ours, let's go get it. But, just like many people, they went with the majority. Do you realize that many times the majority of folk are wrong? Many times the majority of folk are wrong. Don't be one of these Christian people that just follows the herd. That's what sheep do. They follow the herd. You with me? That's what cows do. They follow the herd. Well, if the herd goes off the cliff, you going with them? No, you ought to have enough sense not to follow the herd. You need to follow the word, not the herd. How's that? Only 2 of the men decided not to follow the herd, but follow the word. And they said, God said it's ours, let's go get it. Well, the majority said, no, we can't do this. And so God heard their words and said to Moses, I'm going to give them what they said. They're not going to experience my promise because of their words and because they don't believe me. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, there are some people who are of the opinion, well, if you're having a wilderness experience, it's because it's the will of God. That's biblically incorrect. It was not the will of God that they wander around in the desert for 45 years. That was not the will of God. It took them 40 years to travel a distance. It should have taken 7 to 11 days. But they chose their own path. They died in the wilderness. And then Joshua was raised up to actually go get the promise. Now that's the pattern. What does that mean to us? Here's the fabric. Paul, who I believe wrote the letter to the Hebrew Christians, is saying, let us pay attention. Let us be fearful. Unless there's a promise that God gave to us that we don't experience. Well, we cannot experience God's promise the same way those people in the Old Testament didn't experience the promised land. The promised land does not represent heaven. There are no giants in heaven. There are no battles to fight in heaven. There are no obstacles to overcome in heaven. The promised land represents what belongs to us in Christ Jesus. What's been promised to us in this book. Now, we can wander around in the wilderness or we can have God's promise. The difference is your faith. Think of it like this. I was sharing this with somebody 2 days ago. God's capacity or ability to minister to you is based on the capacity of your faith that you bring to Him. If you come to God with a teacup, He'll fill it for you. But if you're smart, you'll bring a bathtub. Did you hear me? If you come to Him with a teacup, He'll fill it. But if you bring a bathtub or a swimming pool, He'll fill that too. It just depends on your capacity of faith. What can you believe Him for? It's all in the book. And yet there are many people who say, well, you know, I don't know about that. That's fine. Wander around in the wilderness. I don't care. Well, I don't believe that healing stuff. That's fine. Stay sick. Now, I don't mean that to be harsh or cruel. You understand what I'm saying? But where's your faith? There's a promised land that awaits you. But the only way you're going to get into it is by the law of faith. And it's not anything advanced. It's the basics. It's the ABCs. It's basic stuff. You ought to live by faith just like a bird flies or a fish swims. That's the way we're supposed to live. Amen? We had six different witnesses all say the same thing. The just shall live by faith. Faith isn't a spare tire. Faith is the way we're supposed to live every day. Amen? So in the next 6, 7, 8 weeks, we're going to teach you the basics, the ABCs of faith. What is it? How does it work? How will it work for you? And remember where we started, Luke chapter 17. You might be sitting there thinking, well, my faith's not big, it's not strong. That's okay, you've got enough. I'm going to teach you how to put that faith to work. Amen? You don't need big faith for God to move for you. All you need to do is take the faith you've got and put it to work. Amen? Did you learn anything today? All right. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please?